Fly at the Fun Fly Zone with Tim Bogenhagen from the EAA. Somebody might know what that means around here.
I think it's Experimental Aircraft Association.
I think you're right. And he's our staff liaison down here at the Fun Fly Zone. And we are talking to Steve Wood from Spirit Engineering about a very cool aircraft, actually four of them that they brought here, that are SLSA production aircraft just unveiled here at Oshkosh. And Steve, how would you describe the look of this airplane and what was the inspiration for it? Because I look at it and it looks like a 1930s air racer.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the look of this airplane is a culmination of what our taste is, what an airplane should look like. Some people say it looks like a single seat Ryan STA. Yeah, probably a little bit.
Well,
little
maybe, mainly because it's polished
little,
metal.
A little bit of Globe Swift. Well, the cowling shape is similar. Little bit of Hawker Hurricane, little bit of Supermarine Spitfire. The Brits that are here, they say reminds them of the Chilton DW-1A, which is an airplane not many Americans know about. Pre-World War II, low-wing open cockpit. It won, it held some speed records in its engine class. But it's not patterned after any of those. It's not a copy of anything. It's just what we think an airplane ought to look like.
But the wheel pants. The wheel pants.
Trousers.
Our
British cousins call them trousers. We tend to refer to them as spats, but we're talking about going home and changing the name on the drawing.
Okay. Well, they are what gives me the impression of the 30s racers, the wheel pants.
Sure.
Yeah. And what is the designation for the aircraft again?
You were a bunch of really creative engineers. It's called the
SE-1.
Spirit Engineering, SE-1. But up at our exhibit space.
Tell us where that is.
It's exhibit space 218. If you come out the north door of exhibit hall D and look to your 10 o'clock, you're looking right at us. We have two goldfish bowls. One of them is name our airplane. The other one is name our engine.
Oh, okay.
We're just letting people put names in there. We previewed through some of them last night, and I'm pretty sure by the time we leave here, we're going to have some we really like.
Nice.
Excellent. Well, Steve, thank you for making the venture down here to join us. I'm sure you'll check on your planes while you're down here, since you spend most of your time up at the booth, I assume. But anybody who thinks this sounds cool should just cruise past. You can look at them here in the Fun Fly Zone. There's two of them. Or you can see them up at the booth by Building D, just north of Building D.
Thanks,
Steve.
So much,
thank you very much.
My pleasure. Appreciate it.
Well, Tim, that sounds really cool, and if you haven't gone up to the booth, go up there and check it out.
You got to go. That's innovation, right? I mean, EAA is all about innovating and doing something new and different, and this year we just got the example in that Spirit aircraft, so that's really cool. Now we're going to come kind of to the other side, and we're in the ultralight area.
He did not say the dark side. He said the other side.
The other side, the quintessential ultralight. When you think ultralight, Beaver, I know he says flying lawn chair. So when you think of flying lawn chair, ultralight, it's the Quicksilver that probably comes to your mind. And with us, we have Mr. Gene, goes by the name Beaver Born.
Yeah.
He's been Mr. Quicksilver forever and runs a company called AirTech, and they sell Quicksilver. So welcome.
Yeah, and this company, Quicksilver, has a long history. Let's talk a little bit about, let's go back to the beginning.
Well, the beginning for me, at any rate, was back in 1977. When I was first introduced to the hang gliding part of the Quicksilver company, and back then the wheel hadn't been invented yet, and I'm in the flatlands of South Louisiana, so the motor that we were using at the time was an 8-horsepower Chrysler West Bend motor, and then if we had an upgrade package, if you added a carburetor to it, we went to 10-horsepower, and so we were young and healthy, and which is what it took to fly the airplanes, and a little bit later the rolling wheel came along, which helped out a lot.
You mean the versus the square one?
Oh, versus okay. versus the tennis shoe, okay, which was the biggest thing. But then the wheel came along, and then a little bit later, the seat came along, which was really encouraging for some of our customers that really couldn't run very fast or very long, and they got tired of hitting their feet with the prop. But the seat came along, and then after that, we got one of the movers and shakers of the company, Lyle Byram, came from the Cessna Corporation. And that's where we got into the high gear of manufacturing and production and dealer program and QC and QA. And, you know, we really took it from a, you know, like a beatnik hobby into a real live, honest to goodness aircraft company business.
Well, and you also took training seriously, which is why you developed a two-seat version of the Quicksilver, which is not legal, obviously, to fly under the
Part 103
rule.
Back in the day, we used an exemption to fly them for training, and today we use the sport pilot rules and numbered light sport, flown by a sport pilot instructor to do the training.
When we did the two-place, when we came out with the two-place airplane, because it was very difficult, the FAA just said, well, you're just going to have to get into a Cessna, J3, Cub, Champs, that kind of thing. And that just wasn't going to happen. So we're using the same philosophy we did when we were doing the hang gliding, which was outlawed in the United States for a long time. We just said, we're just going to do it. And we did it. We made a bunch of them. Back then, we were producing airplanes 200 at a time. A run was 200 airplanes. And we produced them and got them out, and people started using them, and then the training took place. We started sharing the experience, and then the dealership program took feet, the instructors thing, and we got to the point where somebody called and wanted to know, where could I go to see a Quicksilver or get some training? Where are you located? Well, I'm in Oklahoma City. Well, what part of Oklahoma City? North, south? What neighborhood are you in? I mean, we literally had that many dealers at that time, which in turn meant that we had that many instructors around. So we were always doing something, shopping malls, Corvette shows, sports shows, airplane shows. Anywhere they would let us show what we were doing, they would show, and that's how it got going. And we just promoted and promoted and promoted. But it was the two-place, the old Quicksilver MX-2, which really initiated the instructor program. We were really getting tired of, you know, we didn't have a really good safety record back then because we didn't know that we could get hurt. Once we realized we could get hurt, it changed the whole thing.
Well, you shouldn't teach yourself how to drive a car either. You know, I mean, there is a valid reason to have instruction.
That's like teaching yourself to shoot yourself in the foot. You know, it's just something you just don't, you can do it, but you just don't want to do it. And it's come a long way. And, you know, now our position in the industry is pretty much explains that it was worthwhile. So
you're still here.
Yeah.
You're still here coming to Oshkosh selling Quicksilvers after all these years.
Something must be going right. I'm not sure.
Well, it's 2025. The aircraft has been around for a very long time. It's got a great track record as ultralights go, right?
Yep.
And so what's new? So let's talk a little bit about this Aero 1000 engine. How does that change the game for the Quicksilver?
Sure. So just a little bit of background on that. So no engine manufacturer in the United States produces an engine for our industry. Okay. We are the redheaded stepchild when it comes to engines, wheels, tires, a lot of things. Everything on our airplane, we build, we produce, we manufacture, we test, we. And when it comes to engines, originally we were using a CART engine, a Yamaha CART engine, which got us by for a long time. Cuyuna came along, then Rotax, a gentleman out of Canada, introduced the Rotax motor to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started using the Rotax engine, which worked out perfect for us.
A godsend to all of light aviation.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And it was a little bit of a battle. It was a little bit of a push. But then Rotax finally agreed. He said, okay, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And they brought the engines in. We got the technicians. We had factory people from the Rotax came to our place to work on different things. They changed some stuff in bearings and whatnot. We got it going. So here we are today. Rotax produces no two-stroke engines anymore. Well, for all the aircraft manufacturers, once you take away the nucleus of your product, what do? And so we just said, well, like everything else in my life, I just kind of pray on it a little bit. We see what's going to happen, and boom, it happened. So this engine, the Aero 1000 motor, came along. I had been watching it for a year. It is the outcrop of a karting engine in Switzerland. It's produced in Switzerland. It's Swiss engineering, Swiss design.
Is it like a Swiss watch?
Exactly like a Swiss watch.
It is impressive. Yeah.
And so I said, well, I'll give it a shot. So we had it. We ran it for about a year or so myself, because I am everything we do, I personally test it. And so we ran it, did a bunch of things to make things happen.
Yeah.
And I got, okay, I'm ready to kind of put my name on this in pencil. All right. And so we got a little more involved with it, got more involved with the factory. So right now it's a 40 horse, four stroke, single cylinder, electronic fuel injection, electronic ignition. The only thing that comes out of the exhaust is hot air. All right. Everything is burnt. And we're burning right a little over 1.2, 1.3 gallons of fuel per hour. So we are reducing our dependency on oil, okay, by doing that. but that seems to be working for us. And the so far, the reply I get, the feedback that I'm getting is good. We're learning. We had some, you know, a few little bumps, a few little stumbles, but we're getting that worked out like we always do. The biggest problem with what we do is there's human beings involved. So we have to work around that. Mm-hmm. And so right now, here we are again. I think this is my third year being here with that motor, if I'm not mistaken. And
how's the performance of it?
So it's very similar to the Rotax 447.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that.
Okay. Well, that's a name brand two-stroke Rotax.
Yeah, right, so. right.
Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us and talking about Quicksilver a little bit and then the Aero, the more recent Aero 1000 engine.
Yep.
And we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Tim Bogenhagen, Jay Monchi, we're on the fly down here at the Fun Fly Zone. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to talk more about ultralights. You're listening to EAA Radio.